Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if one secret changed the course of your entire life? Secrets and Lies, the riveting romantic suspense thriller from Robert R. Sitnik, is a heart-throbbing story of romance, lies, and espionage. A boyish crush on a married woman eventually turns into a passionate affair. Their secrets and lies control their future as they are forced to walk in the shadows as a trail of blood and broken hearts are left in their wake. Time eventually reignites their love one last time, but destiny intervenes. Robert Sitnik resides across our northern border in Canada, near the small city of Dauphin in the province of Manitoba. He remains active in the agriculture sector, growing wheat, canola, and soybeans. Besides writing, Robert enjoys being at his lake campsite fishing and buying and restoring old Honda motorcycles. He maintains a collection of old Hondas from the 60s and 70s. And like so many Canadians, he enjoys traveling during the winter, trading the frigid winter temperatures for inviting sands and warm sunlight. And Robert R. Sitnik, author of the critically acclaimed Secrets and Lies, joins us on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for inviting me on your show.
I love what you've done with all of your books, in particular Secrets and Lies that we'll talk about on the program today. First of all, let's go back to frigid winter temperatures. I looked up winter in Manitoba. I got a four-word response that was long and extremely cold. So the question is, why did you choose to live in such a cold, snowbound area of Canada?
Well, Rick, that's a question I keep asking myself. You know, especially when the northern winds blow the snow in and the roads are impassable and the temperatures drop to minus 40. But I guess that's where you hang your hat. So that's what we call home.
Well, from what I read, it's a beautiful area up there, home for the famous Canadian National Ukrainian Festival. It's known for its rich and productive farmland, which means a lot to you.
Right.
And it looks like during the summer months or weeks, I don't know how long you have summer up there, it looks like a beautiful place to be right now as we're doing this. It's summer. What's it like there? It's got to be very nice this time of year.
The rains finally quit, and we were probably in the 80s, 85 yesterday, and it looks like we're going to have the same today.
Fantastic. So it's worth it during the summer months to be in to be in Manitoba. I mentioned
Rick, I'll do a little promo here for the city of Dauphin right now. This weekend is the famous Country Fest. So the town will be booming this weekend.
Boy, it sounds like it. In reading, it says you've got like all the comforts basically of a big city, but you've got the small town atmosphere. So it's a really nice place to live. And that's the home of our guest, Robert Sitnik. Now, if you're Googling Sytnik, so there we go. We want to get that right. And the link to his Amazon page is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting, your background. Someone with as many books as you've written probably grew up really enjoying writing and reading, and that ignited that passion at that point. From what I understand, school to adulthood, you really didn't have a desire to read or write. Reading was a struggle. Comic books, you looked at the picture. Newspapers, you looked at the headlines. What changed you? Where did this change for you, the author of six books so far?
I did all these books in the last 6 or 7 years. But I attribute a lot of this to a real touchy subject. Like I just hated school. I think everybody seemed to in those days. But I never picked up a book in my life. But some 40 years ago though, you know, it was a very hot, sunny day here. If you can believe that, I was repairing an old piece of equipment near the shop. And then, you know, there was just something strange going on all of a sudden. And suddenly it seemed as though time had stopped. The blackbirds flew from the oak tree. There was a sudden silence. The breeze faded and an eeriness silted across the farmland. And you know, just nothing moved. And then, wow, it was just a sudden bang in both my ears. And the only thing I seen was black. I woke some distance from that piece of equipment near the shop, And I woke up to my dog, Norma, licking my face. My palms were on fire as well as my feet. The only thing I realized at that time is I must have been hit by lightning. I was able to get up later on and make it to the shower. And I stood there in that cold water with just in my clothes because my feet and hands were just burning. Yeah, so it's kind of a touchy subject, which I kind of keep away from. But
well, I can understand that. What an experience to go through, a traumatic experience, and it's something that stays with you, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does forever. It doesn't leave you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to and the painful time to express that and how that actually changed you. Talk about how it changed you. What impact did that have on your life?
Well, I believe the writing started from that, because years later, after that lightning strike, you know, it stayed with you, and as time went on and the years rolled by, I began a habit of jotting down notes all over the place and put them in my pocket, throwing them in the drawers. I used to write on the tractor windows when they were all dusty. Don't ask me why. And then all of a sudden I just put things together and I started writing.
You know, it's amazing, because it's when you read your books and you read just the blurbs at Amazon, is going through all of the books that you've written. And on the video, we've got the six book covers appearing, and we'll talk about each book as we go through the conversation today. I would think you majored in this in college. Is this something you've always done? The stories are so well laid out. And the way you develop and the themes that you attack, it just seems like something you've done for a long time. But let's go back to Sarah Rose. This is the one that got it started, your first novel, set on the high seas. Talk about where this idea came from. This is a really very impressive first novel that you had written.
Yes, Rick, that first novel. You know, actually, don't laugh at this, okay? I was watching John Boy and the Waltons in the series on television.
Oh, yes.
And those first few minutes, something about what they were talking about, that story just inspired me. And the Sarah Rose just came into my mind, and I was just, my mind was just full of this energy from the story that I'm writing in my mind. And I finally got to the computer within, it took me a year to punch all this out with one finger typing. And that's the way it went from there. And I never strayed. I kept the book almost like the Walton stories. I kept it very clean with just suggestive acts in it.
You know, that's interesting, because the book is written. It's clean. It's something the entire family could read. It's a never-ending love story. A little different than some of the others that you've written. Talk about that. The later novels, Night Whisper, Redemption, The Unforgiven, Secrets and Lies, the one we're focusing on, contain very sexual descriptive scenes. Not gratuitous. They fed into the story very nicely. What changed you? So in these, the books after Sarah Rose, you decided to tackle some of the explicit scenes.
Well, it wasn't that I wanted to change. It was my audience. But don't laugh at this. I had no choice to keep everything clean. It, like every time I would begin to write, my characters that were making love and stuff, like, you know, and the normal stuff, I always had a vision of my mother's hand coming down from the heavens and slapping me across the head. Every
time. Robert, I taught you better than this.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, they add so much to the story, and the characters are so well developed in all of the books. The book we're talking about specifically, and we'll mention all of them, but it's Secrets and Lies. The book is receiving rave reviews, and we'll touch on that shortly. Once again, you go to Amazon. You'll find the book listed there. We've got the link and all of Robert's books on Amazon on the website, thisweekinamerica.us. Sitnick is Sytnick. And you will find everything there and or be able to order the books, including the first we talked about, Sarah Rose. Interesting, in your books, they're not contemporary. You don't write in the current years. You prefer to go back in time. And I think going back in time, would add to your work as a writer. You need to do a little research. You need to have a mindset back in the time when you didn't exist. Why did you decide to go back and write that way?
Well, first of all, I do very little research. I just kind of go with the feeling and the flow. But I don't think I could bring myself to write in our present time. You know, the 40s and the 60s was a generation of people who were characters. Women were classy then. They wore hats, dresses, and skirts and heels and expected a man to open the door for them. Men were cool then, you know, the cigarette, the car with the rumble seat, the cuffs on the pants, and a touch of touch of class with the bogey look. And yes, I think you would agree with me, Rick.
Yes, I would. And now that you mention it, those were times when a little bit different than the times we're in now, flying on an airplane. If they had airplanes during the era that you're writing about, that whole different experience than travel of any kind than what we have now. The novels are fiction, but do they contain bits of personal truth and events? Do you fall back on people you know or events you might have lived through and adapt them to the books?
Yes, I think everyone who writes fiction or whatever, there's always, you know, but I believe everyone includes bits and pieces of themselves or events in their writing. Writing fiction helps from offending others. And that's the way, you know, I'd like to keep it, you know,
it's legal this way. You're not talking about somebody that could meet you in the courtroom. In Secrets and Lies, you begin with what seems like a simple crush, evolves into a lifetime of passion, deception, consequences. What was the original spark that inspired the story? And when did you realize it was going to become much bigger than a traditional romance novel? Because it is. It really is something set apart from so many novels, romance novels that are out there. What was the spark for this? And when did you realize, I think I've got something here. This is really a good story.
Well, I wrote that beginning of that story so many different ways, and then I just went with it the way it was. And what got me really into this book was the main character and his girlfriend. And I took that back to when they first met and that first love, that first kiss, even though she was married, you know, and that's what just kept feeding my writing. And I wanted to know where it was going to, because
that's interesting. You know, how do you write when you sit down to write? Some people have a very rigid format there, an outline. They know ahead of time what's going to happen. Others like to maybe see where the characters take them. And it sounds like, at least for this book, you fall into that category. Let's see if the characters guide me.
Yes. All the characters guide you, and they become special to you. I think when I'm writing that I'm each character every time, or I'm like the dog in the book. I'm, you know, I jump from one person to a person, and I try to keep it simple and moving fast. You know, that I've heard people say that they love this certain author, but he spent a whole chapter describing the color of his bicycle.
That happens frequently. You go through and you'll think, boy, four chapters to get here. I mean, it does it does take a lot of time. They're obviously on a writing contract per word and trying to get as much as they can. But that's one of the things I read in the reviews, and we'll talk about that here in a second. You get to the story, you keep it moving, but a slow pace in terms of the plot line and what's happening, and you keep our interest because we can't wait to the next chapter to see what's happening. Yeah. You give us a little bit and hook us in that way. Why do you think readers are so fascinated by forbidden relationships? That seems to be something that people are fascinated, a television series with it, and certainly with books. What is it about something that we shouldn't be doing that's fascinating for us?
Because we know we shouldn't be doing it. That's probably why we do it. That was interesting. That was a very interesting book to write, and to come to that conclusion at the end, you know, there was just no other way to bring it.
Well, and it's something that for some reason people enjoy that. I guess maybe I can't do that in my real life, and let's see what these people, the emotions these people go through. This novel, Secrets and Lies, was featured in the famed Page Odyssey Book Club. It's something that's really interesting. It's a great opportunity for people to really sit down, discuss a book, and read the book. It's reviews like that that you believe. So many reviews, you're a little skeptical about where it came from, and if somebody is getting money to write that positive review, you wonder. When you go to a Page Odyssey Book Club review, you know this is sincere. These are people that are honestly reading, discussing, interpreting the book, and expressing the way they felt about it. How was that received by the Page Odyssey Book Club? What were your thoughts on that whole process?
Yes, the Page Odyssey Book Club asked to use my novel, and I was excited about it, you know, and the book went very well. It was received well, and I really appreciate all the reviews I got from the novel. It inspired me to write again and gave me a reason to write again.
That would have to be very flattering, because they review a lot of books by a lot of well-known authors that have been writing for a number of years. Here you're in front of them, you're presenting this book, and they really like this, and very, very complimentary. They really like the way you blended the tension and the emotion. Talk about that in writing a book, when you're able to develop these characters and bring out all of these characteristics, psychological characteristics of the characters. How difficult is that to balance all of that, to have the tension, to have the emotion, to have the thriller aspect to the romance?
Yeah, so when you're bringing in all these characters, you know, you got to have a place for every one of them, and you got to keep bringing them back to keep them in the story, and it keeps you revitalized again too. But you got to have tragedy with those people too, because that's what keeps the reader reading, the tragedy and what's going to happen next, and why did they do whatever they did, and you know, where's this going? You know, it's quite an adventure when you sit there and type with one finger for 6 hours and you get 150 words. So
it's have you taken typing lessons? Is this something you're going to like?
No. Okay. I'm using 2 now, so I'm getting a little better.
So, okay. Doubling the time. What you did in 6 hours, you can now do in 3, because you've got 2 fingers that are going at that. I learned to type in school. See, if you would have paid attention in school, you would have been typing, and you would have been able to do this a little bit faster. Of course, that was typewriters. Yeah. That had nothing to do with computers. And reading the reviews, they love the twist that the plot line takes. Talk about, do you know ahead of time how you're going to evolve in the twists and turns just when we think we have it figured out? Or does that happen as you're writing it?
No idea. You know, when you wake up the next morning, your head is, when you're having that coffee, your head is starting to fill up with all these ideas. But when you're actually sitting behind that computer typing on Word, it goes no place. It just goes in a different direction. It just takes you, and you just go with that road. That what you had set up in the morning is just totally gone. It just, you just live it as you type it.
And I guess there's a lesson there for somebody who wants to be a writer, that don't be rigid. If you think something is a little different than you had planned, then go with it. Your intuition is usually right, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
When you can think of things in context as you're telling the story. Our guest on the program, Robert Sitnick, that's Sytnick. All of his books available at Amazon, other places as well. Easy to remember, Amazon. His link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, for this book and all of the others. We mentioned Sarah Rose, which was number 1. Redemption, that was also a hit. Gallaty placed your book on their website, Pay As You Read, so you've got exposure there. A little bit about Redemption and the fact that it was on the website where people could go on and read some of the book.
Yes, I really loved Redemption. I really loved writing it. And Galena put it on their website as a pay-as-you-read. It was an exciting book to read with lots of twists and turns in it. a man, you know, it was a man on the run trying to hide his past, and a murderer just kept following him, along with several twisted love affairs. You know, it's a heck of a book, Rick. I had the book released from Gallatin, and it's now on Amazon. So,
yeah, you'll find all of the books that we're giving you, a lot of books. If you click on the author's name, that will go to take you to other books besides Secrets and Lies. And if you go to Google Robert Sitnik Books Amazon, it will take you to a page that has all of his books there, and you get information on all of these, and it makes up a lot of really interesting and entertaining reading. That was the redemption we talked about. The Unforgiven is, talk a little bit about that book, and I love the cover on that book as well.
Yes. The Unforgiven was a very special book, and the cover. I had an old abandoned car along the river, and every time I happened to be going by with the tractor or whatever I was doing out there, it would scare the heck out of me, that car. It just looked so damn eerie. So just like it held secrets and didn't want anybody to find out. And so a lot of that emotion came from that car too. So I snapped that picture, and I knew it was the book cover. But The Unforgiven is completely fictional, and it takes place during the America Civil War, and it's up to the early 1900s. The Appalachian Mountains is a setting. I had chills running down my spine when I was writing this novel. I wrote the book the way I wanted to, and I didn't give a darn about reviews or nothing. I just had this story inside of me, and I just wanted to keep going at it. It's a very dark, you know, and this is going to tug at your heartstrings. It's a fascinating book, and it's a must read, and I can almost see it as a movie.
Well, yeah, as it unfolds, the story of read the book, and you'll find out about the people and what they're going through and what the young widow has to go through to survive. It's a very touching and moving story. That's The Unforgiven. That's available, of course, where all of the books are. Talk a little bit about Night Whispers. This is interesting. It's based on a Canadian lad who grows up on a farm in Canada. Tell me about your story. I'm sorry. Tell me about the novel. A little autobiographical hint here.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I didn't know where to go with this. You know, this was only my second book to write, and I just kept tumbling like a tumbleweed with this one. But he's the hero of Night Whispers, and he's a farm boy, Jimmy. You know, when his country called, he joined the Air Force, but he flew for Britain, and eventually he was shot down. And this is where his story begins. You know, I wrote the story as though I was watching a movie on the big screen. In the novel, Jimmy finds Emily, and they fall in love. But war and relationships just don't mix, and it takes a heavy toll on them. You know, it's a great story. You know, Rick, it's really hard to imagine what the brave generation of that time went through. You know, it's...
Yes.
Yeah. And I tried to capture that when I was writing that book.
Well, that's just one of many, as we've talked about, by our guest Robert Sitnik on the program today. Books available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Let's talk about the other book, Rhyming Stories. What? That's a collection on of yours. So mention that as well.
I forgot about that book. That I wrote that book. That's a bunch of... girls call them, I call them rhyming stories. Girls call them whatever they call them, but poems, I think. But I call it rhyming stories. But I wrote that, and then I included, you know, little hints of my other books in that book as well. It's more like an advertising book, but there's some short stories in there that really will capture your heart.
And that book, like all of them, still available. What are you working on now? What's next for you?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, wait till I get a copy of it. Let me know when it's out so I can grab a copy and we can talk about it.
I'm working on a few things, but there comes a time where you figure, maybe did I do enough already? Should I move on with something else? Or, I'm just kind of sitting on the fence right now.
What do you think? Yeah. I mean, you came from a background of, I don't want to write. I'm certainly not going to read. I just wanted to get out of school and go back on the farm and have my life and not worry about this, to being a successful writer now. And you've got 6 books that are published out there, all of them receiving really excellent reviews. What's it like for you, this transition from I don't want to read to I'm really enjoying being a writer now? How much fun has this been for you?
I don't know about so much fun. It's been a lot of work. You got to remember, it takes me to do a year to do a novel. And I think after a year, you should be throwing it under the bed and bring it back 6 months later and then start looking at it and working it from there. But it's really hasn't changed my life, but the impact. Well, now after writing these novels, when I'm talking to someone, I can see inside of them somehow, or it's just a totally different outlook you have on life now.
It's interesting. So everybody is a potential character in your book. You're a people watcher now, and sort of studying people and mannerisms and maybe thought processes, so you could maybe reflect that in the character at some point.
Yes, but people that I know, I'd like to put the good things about them in the book.
Well, that's true. There is a limit to what you can do with the people in Dauphin. It's been so much fun having you on the program. I love the hobby you have with the Hondas. How is that coming, and how difficult is it to find 60s and 70s and to find parts for 60s and 70s?
They're out there, and most of my parts come from way overseas. Honda doesn't seem to make any more original parts like points and stuff like that, but you can get a lot of jobber stuff, but it's not the same as the original Honda. And they're a piece of art, the engineering those days was unbelievable, and I think they touch everyone's heart, those old bikes.
Yeah, even if you know nothing about motorcycles and you walk by and you see, or somebody is riding by on an old classic, a Honda or one of the others out there, and it really captures your attention, doesn't it? It's different than so many now that are pretty much the same. And like, oh, there's a motorcycle. But it is a piece of art. I think those are the words to describe it.
Yes, they are, especially those originals from, from the early 60 bikes where the whole industry was getting involved, and the competition was so strong at those times. And the Honda was a little superior little bike, though. It really was for its time. Because these bikes are 50, 60 years old, and you walk up to them and give them one kick and they fire right up, and away they go.
Yeah, it's amazing. And a hobby that you've enjoyed for years, as well as the writing. I don't know, do you put writing in a hobby category still, or is this more than a hobby? Judging from the work that goes into each of these, I guess I should move it from out of the hobby category.
Yes. Fishing and camping is a hobby. Writing is a job.
Well, and you do that job well. And again, the books are available wherever books are sold. You got over this dislike of writing. How about reading? Do you read other books? Do you read other authors?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
I'll say that. I only read one book in my life. I read My Secrets and Lies when it came back from the publisher about a month or two later. And I really liked it.
You would have bought that, except you got them free.
No, they cost me money.
Well,
too,
I say free. Yeah, that's right. I'm sure that you got a bunch and you paid to get it done. But that's impressive. And that's very impressive that you were impressed with the writing. And this is a book that I really liked. And you will, too. It's receiving excellent reviews. Again, we mentioned the rave reviews coming out of the Page Odyssey Book Club and others that have read the book. And in fact, one said, writing is elegant yet subtle, deliberately paced, a sophisticated contribution to the genre. Not bad for a guy that got started at this late in writing these books. What a compliment that is. The book is available wherever books are sold. I got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The author is Robert R. Sitnick, S-Y-T-N-I-C-K. Secrets and Lies, the book we talked about, the other books, Sarah Rose, Redemption, The Unforgiven, Night Whispers, and Rhyming Stories. They're all still in print, and you can get copies by going to Amazon, link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for spending some time with us. I love the story, love what you've been able to do. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thanks a lot, Rick. This was a pleasure to be talking to you.
A lot of fun to have you on the program. Robert Sitnick is our guest on the program. Again, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're listening to This Week in America, celebrating 21 years. You can listen on 28 podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, Audible, Google, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Blue Sky, and others. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe for more inspiring conversations.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.